Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California. We are in Luke chapter 2.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
Hello, this is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hey, this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
We've just gone through the birth of John the Baptizer, and now the birth of Jesus is, we're at hand. We are right at that point. We're looking into that. So get your Bible, grab a cup of coffee, and we are in Luke chapter 2. And what did we learn in the first verses of that about the census that was being taken? They were, Caesar Augustus is ruling. He's the ruler over Israel at that time. And they were doing an enrollment. Does that sound familiar about today? Have you ever had the U.S. do a census like every 10 years and you think of this, you're going, I wonder if this is not the time, part of the end times, because the Antichrist is going to come before Christ. Many Christians think the opposite because they believe in the rapture, which is not in the Bible. It's nowhere in the Bible. That word, that particular word, is not in the Bible. Have you ever thought about that, the census? Mm-hmm. Does that ever pop into your mind that this might be the 10-year period that where things really start mm-hmm. to happen? Because there's going to be perilous times are going to come in the end days. The seals are going to be opened more and more conquering. We were walking into the sound studio to do these radio shows, and here's a drone. It looks like a police drone or a city drone checking out this neighborhood, you know, because they are control. The first seal that's opened in the last days is control, and it's called Nikao, conquering. Mm-hmm. And the second is peace is taken from the earth. How's our peace doing in the world?
Not so good.
So every time they take the census, you think of that, food prices are going to increase. But that doesn't happen here. We don't have any increase of food prices. To the point it becomes so expensive that we're going to have to really cut back on how much we eat.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll eat and you won't have a house because food is going to be one day's wages. And then the fourth seal will be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be a quarter of the earth, 2 billion people killed by sword, famine, plague, and beasts. And, you know, COVID went by, which I have my questions about that one. But anyway, but every time these kind of things happen, we can see things, the dominoes falling, right, in the chain of events. So here's the census. So I'll bet you guys have the same thoughts that I do every time that census comes out. And so it's in the census. It's the time of the census. This is not Christmas time. I hate to disappoint you folks, but it's the Jewish calendar, not our English calendar. Jesus does not come at Christmas time, or he wasn't born at Christmas time. He was born around end of September, first part of October. We don't know exactly when that time was. But Passover is late March, early April. And Jesus was born 6 months before the Passover. So back that up 6 months in your September, October. That's where he was born. So it's fall, early fall. And this is the setting. And we read that she was about to be or was delivered of her firstborn son. And they laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That's verse 7 of chapter 2. So we're in chapter 2, starting in verse 8 to verse 20 is the next context.
And shepherds were in the same country, abiding in the field and keeping watch by night over their flock. And the Lord's angel stood by them, and the Lord's glory shone round about them, and they were afraid. And the angel said to them, "Be not afraid, for lo, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to the whole people. For this day is born to you in David's city a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is a sign for you. You shall find a child swaddled and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men of good pleasure." And it came to pass, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing that is come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and found both Miriam and Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known concerning this saying which was spoken to them about this child. And all that heard it wondered at the things spoken unto them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these sayings, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen, even as it was spoken unto them.
You know, when a baby's born, is there a celebration? There's usually cakes involved, balloons, other people congratulating you for your birth, and especially if you've got your firstborn child. Here's a big celebration, but in this celebration, heaven is involved in the celebration, heavenly hosts. Have you seen this ever before in the Bible about a birth? Well, this is not talking about December. This is talking about early, early fall. This is not like in the Northwest, on October 15th, it seems like a blanket comes down and it's darker, it's rainier, it's a lot more winter-type weather in the Northwest. I can't remember other areas because I just seem to really notice it in the Northwest especially. The weather really changes. But this is early fall. At the very end of summer, it still could be warm outside, in the evenings even. And this is around September, last days of September, maybe only 10 days after summer. Early, early fall or early October. And this is not our idea here in America of when Christ was born. He was born in early, early fall. And he was 33 and a half years old when he died on the cross. And that happened in late March, early April, somewhere right in there. A little different than we think about in America, but think of this celebration over the birth. I have never seen a celebration like this where heaven is involved in a birth. This is a dramatic difference at the birth of Jesus Christ.
And it's interesting who was informed of this birth. It says it was the shepherds that were out in the field. I just find that interesting. It wasn't religious leaders, and like the one we were reading in Mark, how we kept talking about the chief priests and scribes and people that were really familiar with the Bible.
They were enemies of Jesus, weren't they?
Yeah. So it was interesting who God informed of Jesus' birth.
And what was David's occupation?
A shepherd. Yeah. It's interesting.
And that's a lonely life too, isn't it? That is a lonely, lonely life. I've seen him up in Wyoming and so on, way out into the brush as we drive up a lonely road. And here you'd see their clothes in the sagebrush drying. You know, they were still keeping themselves clean and everything. They would live in a little trailer that they would pull along as they would change, you know, where they live compared to the sheep, where their grazings were. Very lonely life, and he chooses these shepherds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, dangerous life too, because like David, What did he take on, a bear, and he took on a lion?
Yeah. Where are we now? Verse 21?
21.
Okay, this is just a little short. This is one verse context, which is huge, isn't it? Chapter 2, verse 21 in Luke.
And when 8 days were fulfilled for circumcising him, his name also was called Jesus, which was so called by the angel before he conceived it, before he was conceived in the womb.
And circumcising or circumcision is a huge thing, because that's when you get your what?
Your name.
Your name. And isn't that interesting? It's looking ahead to the circumcision of the heart, which we know about in the Old Testament. God's going to circumcise our heart to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, might, and strength. We talked about that in Matthew and Mark, didn't we?
Right.
With all of our heart.
And here within two chapters, we've talked about two circumcisions going on, one of John the Baptist and one of Jesus.
And you don't hear that in churches at all anymore, Christian churches. And they do it in hospitals now. And before, the church leaders used to do it. And you hope they had a sharp obsidian scalpel to do it with so it didn't hurt the baby too much, 8 days old. And I'm thinking it would be better for that to happen as a baby than it would be as an adult, you know, for that to happen. But the one that the Lord performs in our heart is totally different. It's painless, and we get a new name, and it happens at a particular event in our salvation where our heart is circumcised.
It says it's made without hands.
Yeah. I was also thinking of John the Baptizer's title. He's not just known as John, and that last thing it says about him is not his last name. His name is not John Espinoza, John Larson, John, or Ivan Ivanovich. You know, if you're Russian, it'd be John, it'd be Ivan. Or if he's Scottish or Irish, it'd be Ian. It's not Ian Smith. His name was John, but what was his occupation, Andy?
It says, "And yea, thou child shall be called prophet of the Most High God."
I saw that this time for the first time.
Prophet of the Most High God. He speaks for God the Father.
And he goes before?
He goes before Jesus.
So put him with Elijah. That's it. You'll come. Here's the prophet of the New Testament.
There he is right there.
And wasn't he a Levite as well? So he had that going on too.
Yes.
Yeah, he was a priest.
He was a priest.
Yeah.
And the prophet of the Most High God.
He was a priest like his dad.
And a baptizer.
Yeah, that's a pretty strong handle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Prophet of the Most High God. Oh, wait a minute.
For some reason, 53 years, you kind of know this, but it wasn't really right there. This year, it's right there doing this way.
So he's speaking, a spokesperson for God the Father.
He's God's mouthpiece.
Wow.
Just like an angel is God's mouthpiece. There are certain warnings about listening to a prophet. If some people prophesy themselves, and you'll see one reoccurring theme, I, me, my, I, me, my. I didn't mean to be so repetitive of it, but you listen to some people the way they talk, it's annoying. But here, think of Elijah, Elisha, all these prophets, the Old Testament, Zacharias, Hosea, Malachi, Jeremiah, Isaiah. And here is one that it never gives qualifications to any of them like it gave to John the Baptizer's parents. And to John the Baptized, now here is one The others were filled with the Holy Spirit intermittently. You could, I checked this out one time. I was reading through the Old Testament, and it says about this one prophet, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then it goes on, and it goes, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So what I gathered from that, I saw from that, is it lasted a while. He was not permanently filled with the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit to do that particular task. Then he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he was filled with the Holy Spirit. It totally took over his spirit, soul, and mind. It took over that. But John is the first one to be born filled with the Holy Spirit permanently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like with Zacharias, it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he shares all this information about his son. So all that's coming from
right. The
Holy Spirit using.
And I don't know if that even ended. There's no indication. He might have been filled from then on. I don't know.
Mm.
But John the Baptist.
It goes, there's no conversation.
No.
It just goes quiet.
Yeah.
They were here. They did this. No more conversation.
His purpose, God just tells us his purpose, but he doesn't go into
right.
other rabbit holes leading us away from what's really important. We might know other things later on when we're with Jesus that he might divulge things to us, but they're not important to us right now. The main thread of evidence as to what's going to happen that ends up with Jesus's most important gift to us is his dying in your place. Anything on this last context we just read? So he's 8 days, he's circumcised, and his name is divulged, is Yahweh is salvation. This name, it's found 7,000 times in the Old Testament, Yahweh, is now used. Now Yahweh has come as Savior to mankind.
And he even had to go through those things on, as far as like the eighth day. Those are things that were talked about in the Old Testament that people were supposed to do or commanded to do. And so, you know, here's another piece of that is, you know, he had to do that as well.
Yep.
There's fulfillment.
He had to accomplish everything that was set for us to do. The only person that did it was Jesus, perfectly without blemish. Even better than Zacharias and Elizabeth, who were righteous in all the law and the commandments. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was even, it went to enough detail to show that they were not perfect. And here comes the perfect one to set us free. Verses 22 through 24, Luke chapter 2.
And when the days of their purification, according to the law of Moses, were fulfilled, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opened the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons.
Now, it sounds like they're not rich, because it sounds, I think that is, if you didn't have these other animals to bring that were more valuable.
If you can't buy a lamb,
yeah,
you get some birds.
Right.
Yeah.
If you can't, can't afford it, then this was, apparently they were not wealthy. And isn't that interesting too, when you think about it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we looked at the king, Jesus the king, and he's born into this. So usually you think a king born into royalty, and he's got waiters hand and foot on every point of his life. And here he's, you know, born in a manger, or not born in a manger, but they come to the king, and he's swaddled in a manger, and his, you know, they're broke. They don't have a lot of money.
They're like maybe people today that are becoming. You wonder if this is not the age where the Lord returns.
Well, some down-to-earth folks.
Not in this way, mm-hmm. totally different way.
Right.
But the Antichrist, you wonder what he's going to do. Because he's going to try to look exactly like Christ. I wonder if he won't try to reenact this or something. And I wonder how old he is. If he's going to be Jesus' age, which is 30 when he started his ministry, he might be 15. He might be 20. He might be 25.
Yeah. And Joseph was blue collar.
Right.
There was a scripture somewhere past the Gospels that says that Jesus became poor on our behalf. That popped in my mind when we're just reading about his family and where he came from.
So he suffered and he understood poverty like my family has at times. They understood, they knew wealth, they knew poverty. When you escape from Russia and everything burns, you start over again. And the Great Depression, that'll start you over again. They went through that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably really good. If you're going to be a good minister, you need to go through and understand other people. And you can't do it by being insensitive. You can't just have everything just handed to you.
It's interesting because leaving in like restaurant industries or any type of, what do they call it?
Service.
Yes, yeah, service. The service industry. I've met a lot of folks who have gone through that and they're different. They're not entitled. They don't have this entitled kind of way about them. And you learn a lot by going through some type of service industry, whether it's retail or, I was in the food service industry and got to learn a lot from that. And then you learn some empathy within that too, on, you know, walking a mile in someone's shoes and all that stuff that comes about.
Some of the best CEOs start off as janitors. And maybe their dad was rich, but the dad was smart enough to have his kid be a janitor first and then do the next. Maybe work in the warehouse, maybe sweep floors, whatever. So he understood every bit of what goes on in that company. He's just not a distant, he's a part of it.
Yeah, when I started at the restaurant, I was actually excited because the position that I started in was dishwasher. I was like, I always heard those stories of, you know, started from the bottom and you know, you started from the lowest position, you make your way up. And I was excited because I wanted to be able to have that and own that as well.
Luke chapter 2, 25 through 35.
And lo, a man was in Jerusalem, Simeon by name, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do concerning him after the custom of the law, he also received him into his arms, and blessed God and said, Now lettest thou thy bondservant depart, Master, according to thy word in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light for the revelation to the nations and the glory of the people Israel. And his father was marveling, and his mother at the things spoken concerning him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Miriam, his mother, Lo, this child is set for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign spoken against, and a sword shall pierce through thine own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts be revealed.
So again, the setting is the temple, right? Mm-hmm. They're coming to present this. Next contest, you'll really see this. Do you want to read the next one too, and we talk about both these contexts?
And there was Anna, a prophetess, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow even unto 84 years, who departed not from the temple, worshiping with fastings and supplications night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she gave thanks to God and spoke of him to all that were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And the child grew and waxed strong, filled with wisdom, and God's grace was upon him. And his parents went every year to Jerusalem at the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And his parents knew it not, but supposing him to be with the company, that went a day's journey and sought for him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking for him. And it came to pass after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why hast thou done thus dealt with us? Lo, thy father and I seek thee sorrowing." And he said to them, "How is it that you sought me? Know you not that I must be about my father's?" And they understood not the saying which he was speaking to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And it was subject to them, and his mother kept all these sayings in her heart.
Now, we left out that word, fathers, that know you not that I must be about my father's. And Panas has in italics business, but business is not a good word. So my father's, be about my father's, the things that he wants me to do, his will, doing his
will.
Be
about my father's things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do whatever my father wants me to do.
I'm going
to
be like my father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to learn about my father. I want to walk with my father. So he's in the temple like any man would be. Now, age 12, that's an interesting age. I know of a young man boy that thinks he's a man, but I could see him drawing close to God. He's about 12 right now, and he's very interested about all this. It's interesting to see when a young lad has this kind of a heart. So here are these two people recognizing Jesus is Jesus, and all the high priests never knew that he was Jesus. They wanted to kill him. You know, we read that in Matthew and Mark, so we know that. Mm-hmm. And here are these two people separate that Simeon that picked him up or recognized him as salvation, as God's gift of salvation to them. And they knew something was really special about him, and they prophesied over him. And the Holy Spirit was moving on these people, but yet the chief ministers, the elders, the religious people didn't have a clue, and they were jealous of him.
He said this guy was righteous and devout. I mean, I can't pass by that.
Yeah. Right? But he was not, didn't say he was a leader. He didn't say a priest or...
It just says this man.
Yeah.
And he was looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him.
And Anna, she was a prophetess, but it didn't say that she was one of the leaders. And we've run out of time again. And thank you for joining us. And until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together, and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."